powerful. And well, guys, God bless you. This is the teaching we're going to do now, and we just had a wonderful Skype fellowship, which you can listen to the audio file above. And God's just been putting many things in my heart, and I've just been going back in my mind of what God's been showing and teaching through many different ministers around the world and myself, and about who we are in Christ, what God has given us, our authority. We know that we're seated in Christ. We know the word says that we're more than conquerors. We know the word says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And why does God say all these things? Because he knows that we have an enemy, and God wants us to be aware of that enemy. Now, that enemy has been defeated, but he's still active in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Now we're citizens of heaven in this world with all the authority of heaven to move. And the word of God shows us, you know, through the wisdom of the men and women that walked before, of how to really walk with God and what we need to do and where our hearts and minds and focus needs to be. So I'd like you to take your Bibles, and I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read some wonderful records in the word, and I'm just going to, a lot of you guys know some of these scriptures I'm going to go through, or if not all of them, but we need to be reminded, and we need to build our hearts with the truth of what the scriptures are saying to us, and then we walk by the Spirit as God is working in us. See, God is working in each one of us, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, and God wants us to manifest his power. He wants us to walk like Christ walked on this earth, okay, manifesting his glory and his power. And whatever we do, we're not seeking our glory, and we're not using our wisdom, and we're not using our own power, but we're using God's power that he's invested in us. And when we walk in lights, we're doing it to his glory. We're not self-seeking, but we have a genuine heart and love for people. We have a genuine compassion regardless of the situations or even what other people may be like. And God wants us to have that tender heart of love, so that we can really have high faith and a compassion that is going to alleviate us to move to alleviate the needs of other people. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, the flesh is talking about our minds. You know, we're in the flesh, we've got physical bodies. And even though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't serve the flesh. We don't serve our old man nature. We don't serve the things in this world. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not five senses. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds is like a fortress. And the adversary, being the god of this world, has put fortresses in this world that have captivated people, maybe have captivated us in areas, but it's through walking with God and having an understanding of his word that these strongholds are pulled down. It's through our obedience and listening to the voice of God and knowing what he says to us, that when we start to do what he says, then we can really walk in the freedom of who we truly are. In verse 5 it says, casting down imaginations. See, the competition or the battle or whatever you want to call it is in the mind, is between the ears. That's where the fight begins. And that's why you've got to fill your heart with the knowledge of the truth. And God has given us his wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. We've got the Spirit of God in us. But it's as we apply this word in our life, as we practice, as we begin to minister, as we begin to witness, we start to see the power of God go to work. But the change has to happen within us. We have to get these truths in our hearts. And we cast down imaginations, the things that the God of this world is promoting through the senses realm to get to our minds. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and we're to bring every captivity, and we're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that says you can't do all things through Christ. Every thought that says that God is not going to meet your needs. Every thought that says that Jesus Christ isn't going to come back. Every thought that gets you and your attention and focus away from God, we're to bring it into obedience with the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God says, but my God shall supply all your needs, that God is our sufficiency in all things. so that we can abound to every good work. That God will always cause us to triumph in every situation. When we trust him, when we believe his word to us, we all go through situations. Even though we're believers, we're going to get attacked at times. We don't believe for them. We don't focus on them. We don't focus on the devil. We focus on God. But these things come up because of our stand. And God wants us to be aware of this so that we're sharp, we're ready, we're on the ball. We look at our situations. Oh, I got lack. Why is this happening? You know, what am I doing? Check yourself. God wants you to check yourself. Where is your heart? Where is your allegiance? Where is your focus in this world? And there's so many things that distract us. And God does not want us to be distracted, but he wants us to be focused. He wants us, in Isaiah 26:3, it says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Satan doesn't want you to trust in God. So he'll bring these things in. He'll try and use his methods, his ways of getting you and your focus away from the one true God and his promises of who you are and what God says you can have. But God has given us all things freely to enjoy. So God wants you focused. And if you mean business with God, then you've got to mean business with God. And then you've got to decide that you're going to walk with God, that you are going to do whatever's necessary to manifest the power of God, to have your life in order. He's a God of order. That's why he's set up a body of Christ. Okay, he's given gift ministers within that body. Each believer can move with the Spirit of God. It's not that a gift minister is bigger or better than anyone else, but God is a God of order. He does things decently and in order. He's not the God of confusion. Where there's confusion, there's evil, and there's confusion and every evil work. But God's the God of peace. Satan's after your joy, and he's after your peace. That's why we need to keep our head and heart focused on God, focused on his promises to us, knowing who we are, and then we need to start acting and moving in that way. We need to start saying what God says. I'm so thankful that God put in my heart to do that faith and confession class, because it's helped a lot of people, and with the needs that have been coming up now, see, God always provides for his people aforetime. And then when we recognize it, when we practice the things that we're being taught, then we're ready for the fight. You know, we're ready spiritually because we've got the Spirit of God, but our minds are equipped. So that faith of confession, if you've been practicing that, you will start to see a change in your life. If you've been saying what God says, you'll start to see things change around you. And then you'll start to see God go to move. And when something comes up, then you'll know exactly what to do. You know exactly what to say. If you've got a need, if you've got lack, what does God say? You know, what does God say in his word? That, you know, that the righteous have never been forsaken, nor is seed begging bread. God is our provider. Okay, he will provide for everything that you need, and he will give you answers if you go to him. So the power of prayer. So God has invited us into a fellowship with him. We got access to God. We know we got direct access to God, and he wants us to spend time in his presence. It's when you're on your knees, you're going to get your answers. It's when you go to him with your desires, and when you ask God for his desires, he'll put his desires in your heart. He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to take everything to him. You know, Jesus Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows what we go through. Okay, and he's been through it, and he stayed faithful. And we got access to God. We can go boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. If you need wisdom in a situation, God says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and he's going to give it to you. If you ask him for answers in a situation, he will give you a direction. He will give you answers. It may come in many ways, shape, and form. He can tell you directly to your spirit. He can tell you directly through his word. He can tell you directly through another believer. But your first port of call is God. Jesus Christ spent time with the Father where he walked this earth. There was a situation with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, being Jesus Christ's cousin as well, he was beheaded. And so Jesus Christ was troubled by this. And then he had a lot of situations going on in his day. You can read the record yourself. But what did he do? He carried on ministering to the people. And then when he had that time to get away with God, he went and spent that time with the Father in his presence to be strengthened with God, to receive direction from God. And sometimes you might just need to pull yourself away. You might just need that time. And I found myself this week having to do that. Even though there was many people asking me lots of different questions and coming to me for different needs, you know, and I was encouraging them to go to God, of course, and working with them. At the same time, you know, you need to spend your time in the presence of God. You know, we're always in the presence of God, but I'm on about in your focus, in your prayer for the direction for your life. So you've got that power of prayer, and the power, that's where it starts. When we go to God, when we take our concerns to God, when we are being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, we're letting our requests be made known unto God. Okay, we're casting all our cares on Him. We're putting our burdens on Him. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Sometimes you just might have to go through a situation where you haven't got the answers, where you haven't got all the facts and figures for you to move ahead. In those times, you spend that time seeking God. You spend that time expecting the answers from the Father, and you'll get them. And God is always on time. He's never late. Then we got the power of the Word of God. Okay, the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, and God wants you to put His Word in your heart. He wants you to meditate upon that Word. He wants you to build the image of that Word in you. And then and the way it gets in there is through your confession. The Word is in your mouth and in your heart. You need to say what God says. Okay, if you're feeling down, you just say, no, I'm not feeling down. I'm seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. If you think that you're down, you say, no, God has made me the head and not the tail. If you haven't got your needs met, or you don't seem like you've got a lot, you say, no, my God has supplied all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You find the promise of God for your situation and take God at His word. Nancy was sharing earlier on, we need to take God at His word. We need to say to God, look, you said this in your word and I believe it, Father. And Father, you need to do something about this situation. I'm not able to, but you are able to, and I believe you. And I come to you, I lay it before your feet. I'm in your presence right now. Come to that throne of grace, that throne of favor. So you've got the power of prayer and you've got the power of God's word. The power of praise. When you're in those situations, praise God. I was walking over the fields today, and on the way to the fields, I was singing and I was giving glory to God. And that backs off the enemy. He doesn't like praise. He doesn't like praise. Okay, he hates it. And it says Psalm 22:3. God inhabits the praises of His people. No, God inhabits the praise of people. You can praise God by speaking in tongues also. So if you don't know what to sing, speak in tongues. Speak it out loud. Okay, speak it out loud. God has given us everything that pertains unto this life and godliness so that we can walk in power, we can walk in victory, we can shine as those lights. So we got prayer, we got the Word of God, we got praise, and God has empowered us with His Spirit. We got the Spirit of God in us. You got Christ in you. In that Christ in you, there's no fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When you are in fear, you can't think soundly. Your thoughts are all over the place. And we have to stir up that gift within us. We got Christ in us. We have to remember who we are. We have to put on that mind of Christ. Hold on a minute. I haven't got fears. Fear, you go from me right now. But God has not given me the spirit of the Lord, that spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Get that word in your heart. And then God shows us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 17, to be strong in the Lord. Okay, we decide to be strong. You can either decide to be weak, or you can either decide to be strong. The decision is up to you. So when you're faced with a challenge, you can cave in. One of the great things about, we have to recognize about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In the carnal mind, in the five sense man, from the thoughts of the carnal man, it affects our emotions. Okay, our emotions are strong, like the emotions of losing someone, the emotions of being rejected. There's so many different emotions that are strong that can, you know, bombard our minds with thoughts, right, through those emotions. So we're to control our thinking. God wants us to control our thinking with his word. And so that's how we can stay focused. So when you're stirred up because of a situation, you need to keep your mouth shut and you need to get your head into prayer. Thank God for the answers. Get his word in your heart. Start to say his word in your situation. It's the introduction of light that dispels the darkness. So again, like I said, we got the armor of God. Okay, we can put on all those resources and we can be fully equipped. And it's our obedience to the voice of God and being led by his spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." They run after the things of this world. That's what's more important to people. What they can get, what they can gain, what they can enjoy, what pleasures they can indulge in. Now, God wants you to enjoy this life, right? But God wants you to have a balance in your life. He doesn't want the things to possess you. He wants you to possess things and be a blesser. Okay, so for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, no, to be worldly minded, okay, is death. It doesn't bring life into you, right? But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So if you want to enjoy this life that you've been given as a believer in Christ, then you need to be spiritually minded. You need to set your things or your affections on and thoughts on things above, not on the things of this world. God wants you to see you as he sees you. Look at yourself how God sees you. And how does God see you? Well, you need to go to the Word of God. You need to see what the Word of God says about how he sees you. You need to go to the Word of God to see what he's done for you and who you are now in Christ. Romans 8:7 says, "Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, our old man nature, is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, walking like an unbeliever, cannot please God." You can't live have foot in both camps. You're either walking with God or you're not. And God, if you want to be blessed, you want to walk in the blessings of what God has provided for us, then you've got to be focused. And God is showing us what to do so that we can walk that way. And he's working in us and working with us. Verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh." You don't owe nothing to your old man nature, to your old way of living, or to this world, to live after the flesh. Verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." You're not going to manifest the blessings of God that God's provided for you, right? But if you through the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're practicing, you're walking with God, "do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." Jesus Christ wasn't led by his senses, but he was led by the Spirit of God. He always did the things that pleased the Father. And we can do the same works that Jesus Christ done. Okay, we got the mind of Christ. We just need to put it on. We need to address our minds. Okay, if you get depression, you say, "No, that doesn't belong to me. I refuse depression or oppression." Okay, but you take your stand on the Word of God. Romans 12:2 says, "Now be not conformed to this world." Don't have the mind of the world. What the world says, what the world is promoting, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you put that word on and start walking and being led by the Spirit, your mind is being renewed, and that you may prove. You've got to prove this to yourself. You've got to prove the Word of God works. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? As you begin to walk, as you begin to align yourself with God and what he says about you, you'll begin to prove that the Word works, that God is faithful to his Word, that Yeah, God says you're righteous, you can see that in your life. God says you're provided for, you can see that being manifested in your life. God wants you to prove his word to yourself, okay, so that you can stand upon it and you don't back down. For I say, through the grace given unto me, this is what Paul was saying, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I've always learnt this scripture, and I always see it, this scripture, as control your thinking. God wants you to control your thinking, and you leave every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When there's a situation in front of you, don't allow your emotions to overwhelm you. Yes, emotions will play a part. Emotions are important, but we are in control of it. We can control it. In other words, we can. We don't suppress it, but we bring the truth of the Word of God in there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So whatever's going on in your life, whatever situation you're challenged with, get the answer of the Word and the promise of the Word of God to you, and start walking out on it and line your thinking up that way. John 10:10 says, the thief, referring to the god of this world, Satan, he's the thief. And he comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his ministry, is to steal from our lives, to kill the joy in our lives, the peace in our lives, to wreck our relationships with God and with other people, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ says, I am come that they, those that believe God, those that look to God, those that place their trust in God, those that believe that they are righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed, okay, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants us to be in such a place that we are examples, that we're shining as lights, that we can get in there, we can help people in their situation to pull them out of the darkness, to give them the answers and wisdom of God in their situations, to minister to their needs, to bring them up, to help them to walk. Because that's what Jesus Christ done. We can see what we need to do through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We can see what we need to do through the life of the apostles when they were obedient and they walked with God. And we can see the great results they had. But we can also see, when you look at the life of the apostles, they went through tough times. They faced persecution. Stephen lost his life through standing on the word. Paul was left for dead, but he got raised up from the dead because he stood upon the word. His time wasn't to go. And the believers got together and they prayed. It was through the body of Christ that Paul got raised up. It was through the like-mindedness and standing upon the word that he got raised up. So, and Paul went through shipwreck. He suffered loss. All these things, but he still stood for God because he believed the word of God to him, and what God has shown him more than he did his circumstances or his situations. So, you know, God wants us to manifest this life, which is more than abundant. And it starts with knowing who you are. It starts with the treasures of God's word to you, and then beginning to walk in them. 1 Peter chapter 5, we read these verses 6 through to 9. It says, humble yourself, okay? Have a need for God. Or don't depend upon yourself, your wisdom, your strength, your own ideas. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast in all your cares to him, for he cares for you. Listen, God cares for every one of us. For God so loved the world, even before they were saved, that he gave. Okay, that they wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And God is for you. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. How much is he going to do for you? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be sharp, be vigilant, be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, I don't want to promote the adversary, but I want to make people aware. Because God makes people aware. He's made it aware through the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ exposed the adversary and where these things come from. The apostles exposed the adversary, and we're to, you know, Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, which he'd done, okay? And that is, we enforce that now by walking, knowing who we are in Christ. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Learn to feel the spiritual temperature of what's going on. You can know when things ain't right because you've got the Spirit of God. You can discern. Okay, you can discern what's going on spiritually, the spiritual temperature, not just where you are, but you can guarantee if things are happening where you are, it's happening elsewhere. And that's why we go into prayer. That's why we seek God and His wisdom to move in situations. But we don't focus on the negatives. We focus on God. It's the introduction of the light, right? And in verse 10 it says, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God is going to take care of you. Whatever you're going through, you're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out victorious. You're going to come out settled with that peace of God ruling, knowing that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Listen, Jesus Christ wasn't immune to attacks. Okay, after being baptized, what happened? He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Let's have a look at the record. Okay, let's remind ourselves. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read the record, it's amazing. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Okay, he was obedient to the Father's voice, and he was led up there, to go there. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter," Satan is a tempter, "came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He was getting Jesus Christ to question him who he really was. If thou be the Son of God. Oh, if you be a child of God, then you do this and do that. You know what I mean? He was being tempted. And he was trying to get Jesus Christ to doubt who he was. But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written." Right? He backed Satan off with the word, "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple, and said unto him, If thou be," again, casting doubt through that if "thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dashed thy foot against the stone." So he was tempting him to jump off. And if he'd have jumped off, he'd have gone straight down, right? And he was using the word of God deceitfully. People can use the word of God deceitfully. That's why God wants you to know what His word says. He doesn't want you to be deceived. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices and how he operates and moves. And he does it through people. He does it through the things in this world. Verse 7 says, "Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Did the devil go then? No, he carried on. "Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain, shown with all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship thee." So how could he show him all the kingdoms of the world and offer it to him? Because it belonged to him, right? Because Adam, when he fell, transferred that power and dominionship over to Satan, right? "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So Jesus Christ resisted the devil with in his mind and with what he knew, and God working in him with "it is written." Okay? And it says, "Then the devil leave him alone, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." See, when we take a stand on the word, yeah, we're going to have things come up. But we got the word to stand. And we got faith to stand. We got the Spirit of God in us. And we need to know who we are. That's why I've been teaching these things. That's why God's been working in me and other ministers around the world to teach these things. In Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, God is our provider. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord." See, God is the one that gives rest to our soul. He's the one that provides for us. Goodness and mercy is before you. Okay, it goes before you. say what God says. We can say these things, okay? And you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God, Jesus Christ is coming back. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. God wants you to be still. He doesn't want you to be shook up when situations face you. Because when you're shook up, you lose your peace, you lose your joy, you lose your focus. So when we can be startled, like, okay, something happens and we're startled, but then we need to straight away go and take our focus to God. We straight away take our need to God. And when we do that, trusting Him to provide for us, trusting Him to give us our need or provision or the answer or direction, He goes to work. Isaiah 54:17 says this, and I love this because it says, no weaponed. And this word weapon means what, you can also be translated whatsoever. No whatsoever that is formed against thee shall prosper. It's not going to, whatever the adversaries devise to come against you as an individual, it's not going to prosper when you know who you are in Christ, when you take your stand on the word, when your heart is filled with His word, when you're in prayer, when you're in praise, when God is first, okay, nothing's going to prosper against you. No whatsoever that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is an inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. That's a promise of God. You can take that promise. You can stand upon that promise. When you're in a situation where you're being accused, or when things are coming against you, you say, no weapon that is fashioned against me is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I'm going to condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. So know what God says to you. Know, start to find out His promises again. Refresh yourself if you've forgotten some of them. Go to the Word. That's why it's been provided. Ask God to bring His Word to your mind also. Isaiah 40:28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, fainteth not. God doesn't faint. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't get weary. Neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to arm ourselves and keep ourselves refreshed with the truth of the Word of God, knowing who we are, knowing our seated position, and we need to believe it with all our hearts and doubt not. And God is with us. He's working with us. And as we begin to step out upon His Word, He's opening up the doors for us. He's teaching us. You will get challenges, unfortunately, but you are more than conquerors, fortunately, because of God's great love. He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And God is with us. So I just encourage you, whatever you're going through, God is with you. He's got the answers. He's got the solution. He's got the direction. He's got the provision. So don't trust in your circumstances, your situation. Get the Word of God in your mouth and in your heart and start saying what God says. Don't take any more crap. Stand on the Word of God and you watch God go to work. When you stand for Him, He really can go to work for you. So that's what I wanted to share, and thank you for listening. Bless your hearts.
Amen.
Amen, brother.